May 25th. Dear Diary, I finally got wonky with it, which is how you know I was desperate. Listen, the quilt show deadline is in 11 days. Every quilt I looked at that I wanted to make, well, there wasn't time to make it. I was looking at Marianne Fonz's blog, for example, where I came across this amazing quilt she'd finished last fall based on the traditional X's and O's pattern. My heart went pitter-pat, pitter-pat, and my brain immediately started calculating whether I could make a similar quilt in the time remaining to me. The answer came back immediately. No. No, I could not. I decided there was nothing to do but to get a little wonky. Do I love wonky? I don't know. The process is fun, but the results? I'm still thinking about them, but I can report that the modern quilters in my family are thrilled. Almost insultingly thrilled, if you must know the truth. "This is genius, Marn," Daryl cried out when he saw my design wall this morning. "You're a regular Jackson Pollock." I've never liked Jackson Pollock. When I look at Jackson Pollock's paintings, I think of bird droppings. I know this makes me a Philistine. I know I'm supposed to appreciate his technique. I know I'm supposed to look at his work and say, "The medium is the message," or something as equally profound. But what I'm thinking is, someone should clean that stuff up before it damages the canvas. Anyway, I wasn't thrilled by Daryl's comparison, but I did appreciate his enthusiasm. And, like I said, I enjoyed the process. Not only that, I started the thing last night and I think I'll be done by tomorrow morning. I texted Katie a photo at breakfast and she replied almost immediately. 1. I love your colors. The orange/blue/white combo is classic. 2. I love a wonky log cabin block. 3. What I see here is a kind of controlled improv. It's playful, but also makes sense, if that makes sense. It did make sense. In fact, that's exactly what I was trying to do. I wanted to be creative and free, but I knew that I wasn't going to be happy without some rules. Robert Frost once said that writing free verse poetry, poetry without meter or form, was like playing tennis without a net. That's how I feel about making improvised quilts. There have to be a few rules if the quilt is going to work. So I looked through my stash, what there is of it, and found some oranges I love, and because I love orange and blue together, I pulled some blues. With the addition of white, I had my palette. After more online searching, I settled on a wonky log cabin quilt, and I decided the log cabins would be small, no larger than 8 inches. By the way, this all happened at 7 o'clock last night. I started cutting out small wonky squares and different widths of wonky strips, and then I started sewing them together on my trusty Bernina, and then I was in the groove. I slapped each new block on the design wall. After I had 20 or so, I started thinking about layout, and I got wonky with the layout, and at some point around 1:30, I thought it was quite possible that I had gone mildly insane, so I went to bed. Today's task is to decide how many more blocks I need and whether or not I'm really happy with this off-grid layout. They won't kick me out of the guild if I put this quilt in the show, will they? No, of course not. But it's possible I might lose some friends. June 1st. I did it. It's done. I dropped my show quilt off at Lynn's house this morning. I was a little nervous about it, to be honest. Lynn's great and I love her, but she's definitely a member of the quilt police. In fact, that's why a lot of us encouraged her to run for Guild VP. We thought if she was an elected official, she might go easier on us, maybe be a little more diplomatic. Wrong! In fact, she got even more persnickety, if such a thing is possible. Competitive quilting isn't really my thing, even though I work hard to make well-designed, well-constructed quilts. But what's that saying? Quilting is my happy place. Quilting is my therapy. I always enter a quilt in the guild show, but I don't submit quilts to juried shows, even local ones. I get why other people do. They love a challenge. It ups their quilting game. It's fun to have your quilts recognized and to have them seen by a wider audience. I don't have anything against that. I just know myself and how miserable I'd be if I were making a quilt to be judged. I like my quilts, and I think they're pretty. I just don't need anyone getting up in their business. Handing my quilt over to Lynn this morning, I hoped she'd keep her opinions to herself. Not that she's known for doing that. I knew she wouldn't like it. She's a traditionalist, and thinks modern quilts are made by people who don't make quote-unquote real quilts. Now that I live with the modern quilter, I'm a lot more impressed with modern quilts than I used to be. And while I don't love every modern quilt that I come across, I do like a lot of what Daryl and Katie share with me. But I wasn't fooling myself that my other quilting friends would feel the same way. Sheila doesn't count, of course. She's obliged as my best friend to swoon over every quilt I make. But the other people in my guild? Not so much. Oh, I was wondering if you were entering something this year, Lynn said when she opened her door. You're usually one of the first people to drop their guild show quilt off. I've had a lot going on lately, I told her. You've heard about Sheila's quilt shop, haven't you? I have, and I couldn't be more excited. Lynn took the bag with my quilt in it and nodded toward the house. Can I tempt you into a cup of coffee and a cinnamon roll? The coffee I could have resisted. The cinnamon roll? Never. I followed Lynn into her kitchen, which was a little like taking a trip back in time. Remember the popular dark plums and forest greens of the late 80s, early 90s? If it were up to Lynn, we would never forget. Her color scheme actually gave me a warm, nostalgic feeling. It also made me check my watch to see how long it would be before Sam woke up from his nap and needed a snack. Lynn handed the bag back to me and headed over to the coffee maker. Why don't you show me your quilt? I feel like it's been ages since you've gone up for show and tell with anything new. It has been ages, I agreed, stalling. Like I said, it's been a busy year. I've been helping Sheila get ready to open Thimble Pleasures. When will that be? Lynn asked as she poured the coffee. I assume there'll be a festive grand opening. Oh, yes. Sheila's planning to open on August 25th, and she wants to make a big, big day of it. You know, raffles and giveaways, a marching band. Lynn turned and gave me a blank look. She plans on having a marching band? I forgot that while Lynn has a sense of humor, she isn't particularly receptive to whimsy. I'm exaggerating. She just wants it to be a big to-do. Tell me, has she talked with Gail and Melissa yet? Because I've heard some rumblings.
What sort of rumblings?
Lynn shrugged. Oh, you know, Gail thought that space should have gone to her. She's been dying to open up a second cozy quilter, and she'd been hoping to do it in Milton Falls.
Yeah, I heard about that, I admitted.
If Sheila had known beforehand, she would have definitely discussed it with Gail. But between you and me, she was led to believe that nobody with her experience as both a business owner and a quilter had applied for the space. I don't know why Mimi Pressler didn't mention that Gail and Melissa were interested.
Lynn brought over the coffee and then fetched the cinnamon rolls. They looked and smelled homemade, and I knew I was going to have to use every bit of my willpower to keep from eating more than one. or more than two. In fact, I told myself, eating two would be the gracious thing to do, a way to signal to Lynn that her cinnamon rolls were delicious and nearly irresistible. "Oh, I can guess why Mimi didn't mention it," Lynn said as she took a seat across from me. "There's no love lost between her and Gail. They're too much alike, for one thing. They both want to run the show. Plus, Lynn's son broke Mimi's daughter's heart." This was a topic that clearly called for carbs and sugar. "How so?" I asked as I plucked a roll from the platter. "I mean, were they dating? How old were they?"
"Dating?"
Lynn sounded incredulous in the face of my cluelessness. "They were engaged to be married. How did you not know about this?" I shrugged. Mimi's kids were ahead of my kids in school. I could barely keep up with Sam and Katie's soap operas. I didn't have the bandwidth to follow who the upperclassmen were dating.
"Soap opera is the right term for it. There was so much drama, and at some point Gail and Mimi got dragged into it, and it turned out that Gail had never liked Mimi's daughter, and Mimi thought her daughter was too good for Gail's son. It was a hot mess. Anyway, the thought that Mimi would ever rent that space to Gail is simply laughable. Of course, she probably should have, given Gail's experience and expertise."
"Sheila has a lot of experience, too," I pointed out. "Maybe not as a quilt shop owner, but she ran a business for 20 years. Lynn waved a hand as though dismissing my protest.
"Oh, I know. And honestly, as much as I love the cozy quilter, whenever I go there and need help, I go straight from Alyssa. Gail's just too much for me. But Sheila's a doll. Everybody loves her."
I felt a surge of pride, the way I always do when someone compliments my family or close friends, and Sheila's both, as far as I'm concerned. "These cinnamon rolls are delicious," I told Lynn, A, because they were, and B, because I wanted to reward her for liking Sheila more than she liked Gail. "Are they hard to make?"
"No, I find opening a can pretty darn easy."
"These are from a can?" My mouth fell open.
"They're too good to be from a can."
Lynn nodded.
"I know, but I doctored them up. Added heavy cream to the baking dish and poured on a layer of brown sugar mixed with melted butter. They taste like they're from a bakery, right?"
I shook my head. "That is very dangerous information."
"I know," Lynn said, a sorrowful expression on her face. "I wish no one had ever told me."
We sat in silence for a moment, staring at the way too easy to make rolls.
"Don't tell Daryl," I whispered. "If he hears about these rolls, we'll both be dead within 5 years.
Lynn held up her hand.
"This recipe doesn't leave this room."
Then she smiled.
"Okay, why don't you show me that quilt of yours? I'm dying to see what amazing design you came up with this year. You were talking about doing a portrait quilt, weren't you? Or EPP?
"I tried both of those, but I didn't have much luck. Have you ever done a portrait quilt?" I asked, hoping to distract her. Lynn would see my quilt soon enough. I just didn't want to be in the same room when she did.
"I do some English paper piecing from time to time."
Lynn stood up and headed for the sink.
"Let me wash my hands and pull that quilt out. I always love seeing your show quilts."
I would like to report that Lynn pulled my quilt out of the bag and immediately declared her love for it. I'd like to write that the first words out of her mouth were,
"How beautiful, Marnie! How innovative!"
They were not. In fact, there were no first words. There were just sounds.
"Hmm. Uh-huh. Hmm.
I thought I'd try something new this year," I exclaimed brightly. "Go against the grain, so to speak."
"Gosh, Marnie, I don't know. You've gone against something here. I mean, we're still a traditional guild the last time I checked.
I tilted my head.
Are we? Is that in the bylaws, that we're traditional?
No, I guess I'm talking about the culture of the guild. We trend traditional, and this is a very modern-looking quilt.
But there aren't any rules against modern quilts, I pointed out. The only rule is that you have to be a dues-paying member to have a quilt in the show. Besides, Lynn, it might not be a bad idea to have more modern quilts.
Young quilters are drawn to the modern aesthetic, after all, and the peacemakers could use some young quilters.
Lynn frowned.
I don't think many of us care for a modern aesthetic. Why would we encourage it?
I grabbed my purse and rummaged around for my checkbook, which I keep handy for trips to the hairdresser. Brooke only accepts checks and cash. When I found it, I filled out a check for $30 made payable to the Milton Falls Peacemakers Guild. In the memo, I wrote, "Dues for Daryl Fetzer." I rose, handed the check to Lynn, and said, "I'll be back later with Daryl's quilt for the show. If you think my quilt is modern, you ain't seen nothing yet." Daryl was a little irritated that he had to spend his afternoon making a label and a sleeve for a quilt. He decided on a quilt he calls Modern Zigzag. But I think he's excited to see his quilt hanging in the show in 2 weeks.
"So, are you ready to sign up for the Modern Quilt Guild?" he asked when I got back from dropping off his quilt at Lynn's.
She was rather cool when she answered the door, but she accepted Daryl's quilt all the same and handed me a baggie with the leftover cinnamon rolls. A peace offering, maybe?
"I mean, now that you're a modern quilter, you might enjoy our meetings."
"I'm really not, though," I told him.
"But you made a modern quilt," Daryl pointed out, "and it's pretty good. In fact, you should enter it into QuiltCon."
I waved him off and went into my sewing room, where I started a good old-fashioned, traditional X's and O's quilt for the baby. I've been modern enough for one day.
June 5th. Abby is moving to Milton Falls on Friday. She found an apartment at the new and very fancy True Home living complex that's a block off of East Main. It's one of those places that's more like a small village with restaurants and coffee shops and a gym. The buildings are covered with murals of happy young adults working out or skateboarding or walking a dog. As Katie would say, it's a vibe. Not exactly an advanced, middle-aged woman vibe, but a vibe all the same. It's also a 25-minute drive from Sam and Jessica's house. In a bigger city than Milton Falls, that's nothing. But in Milton Falls, it's like another country. Maybe that's the only place she could find an apartment that she liked, Daryl suggested over breakfast this morning. It's got that cafe where they make those healthy smoothies and a yoga studio. That seems like Abby's speed to me.
I don't disagree, and maybe you're right. Maybe she couldn't find an apartment she liked as much closer to Sam and Jess. All the same, it makes me wonder about her motives for moving here. I mean, is she really moving to help with the grandbabies? Daryl raised an eyebrow.
Why else?
Money, honey, I said, rubbing my hands together like a greedy miser. Grangerfield money.
Remember what Sam and Jessica said? That she and Tom Grangerfield hit it off on her last visit?
She could do worse.
Oh, she could do a lot worse. But that's not the point. The point is, she's picked an apartment a million miles away from the kids, and now that I think about it, very close to the Grangerfield Risk Management and Insurance Building on East Main.
Daryl considered this. You could be right. She might not be here to help Sam and Jessica with the grandkids.
The good news is that means more baby snuggling time for us.
My husband is a famous baby snuggler. Always has been, always will be.
Well, that's definitely good news, I told him. But I hope she'll show up at least a little bit, for Jessica's sake.
I bet she will, Daryl said.
Don't you think?
Sure, of course.
Daryl and I looked at each other. Clearly, neither of us was convinced.
But you never know. Abby could surprise us all and be the best Grammy, make that the best Abby in the world to her grandchildren. Stranger things have happened. I mean, I think they have. I should go look it up.
Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.